afternoon and welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis and I'm here again today as we are each Sunday at noon with attorney Eric Glazer. Scott Shapiro is off today with Glazer and Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we're here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from 1 minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody. And even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows. You can sign up for our free seminars. We'll talk about that in a minute. The schedule is out, and they're quickly approaching. You can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. As a matter of fact, we have Jeffrey Ulm and James Gonzalez from Association Services of Florida with us live in the studio today. We'll get to them in a little while. You can also automatically link to our Facebook page. You could link to our brand new HOA and condo blog at hoa-condoblog.com. And, of course, you can join our email list and get copies of our newsletters and other weekly announcements that we send out about the show. And if you'd like to call the law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. And the law firm's website is at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And as we were saying, we are getting ready and really receiving a great response from people who are registering for the board certification seminars throughout the state. And remember, Florida law now provides members of a condo board, you have to get certified within 90 days of getting elected to the board, and you can even get certified 1 year before getting elected to the board. A lot of people like to do that, so when they're running, they can say, I'm already certified. And one way of getting certified is by taking the Condo Craze Board Member Certification Course. It's the first course that was written by an attorney and that was approved by the Florida DBPR.
And Eric has now certified nearly 3,000 Floridians who are now eligible to run on the Florida Condominium Board of Directors. The course is fun. The course is free. And there's food served. You get to ask questions. You leave with a summary of everything you learned and a really nice frameable certificate.
And you get to meet all of our sponsors as well. And before you know it, election season will be in full swing. We're just about approaching that time of year. So come learn about your duties as board members, learn about budgets, reserves, financial reporting, board meeting procedures, and a lot more. We even added some information this year about material alterations, competitive bidding, and emotional support animals.
Boy,
so, yes, if your board is interested in actually getting certified at your condo or in our law office, actually, you can give Glazer & Associates a call, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE. Again, 855-4-CONDO-CRAZE, and we will make arrangements to bring the course to you. The next one is at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood on November 8th at 6 o'clock. December 1st, we're at the Waldorf Astoria in Naples. Beautiful place. And on December 15th, we'll be back in Orlando at the Holiday Inn at Universal Studios. And if you want to register again for either Orlando, Hollywood, or Naples, just go to Condo Craze and HOAs, fill out the form, and Brian will let you know that you're in fact registered.
And last week's show, we had our third anniversary show. Can you believe it? We're in our fourth year. And we certainly did pay tribute to all of our listeners. We spoke about the fact that New Yorkers and other northern easterners are back in Florida in the real estate market, and we took so many calls from our listeners about topics ranging from board members being threatened with 357 magnums to unit owners being hit with special assessments because of others in the community failing to pay their fair share.
Yeah, loved last week's show, Karen. Lots of good calls, and I see the phones are ringing already this morning. But if you remember, the three of us discussed whether or not we believe what we're reading in the papers about the real estate market picking up down here and how people from other countries in the Northeast are allegedly helping to drive up the prices. And I think I can speak for really all three of us, Scott not being here today, but when I say that perhaps, you know, we're a little skeptical because the foreclosure crisis doesn't really seem to be going away.
No. In fact, on the day after last week's show, the Daily Business Review reported that new foreclosure filings in Palm Beach County surged last month. In August alone, there were 1,485 new foreclosure cases filed, which was up 31.9% over August of 2011.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are still staggering. So with nearly, 1,500 homes coming on the market, really, in Palm Beach County alone as a result of foreclosure, it's kind of difficult to believe that the process, is going to be driving prices up. But, as the saying goes, sometimes you say something enough and people actually begin to believe it. On that note, how about we go to Mike in West Palm Beach? How are you, Mike?
Morning, guys. Love your show. Listen every week.
Thank you.
First time I'm calling.
How can we help, Mike?
I live in an HOA where we have a president on the board that we can't get rid of because we can't get enough votes to get rid of the guy. I found out last week during the New Year fiscal year budget meeting that the president of the association owns the bookkeeping company that we deal with. And I'll hang up and listen, but it sounds like it's a conflict of interest to me.
That is, isn't that great? And we have members in the studio today, right, from the largest management company in the entire country, from Association Services of Florida. They're actually perfect, perhaps, to ask this question. But I'll start it off by answering Mike's question. Now, here's what the condo statute says. Condo statute says a board member can, in fact, do business with the board of directors. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. There's a certain steps, though, that have to be followed first. Number one, that relationship has to be disclosed to the board, right? That has to be disclosed at the meeting where the board's going to decide whether or not to contract with this guy's management company. Secondly, it has to be voted upon, and two-thirds of the non-interested voters have to approve that. And lastly, it has to be disclosed at the next unit owner meeting. And when it's disclosed, if the unit owners decide by a majority vote to cancel that contract, then the unit owners have a right to cancel it. So technically, under the law, these types of relationships between board members and companies owned by board members are allowed if you walk through the statutory procedures.
And Eric, you said condo is that the same as HOA?
Actually, the HOA statute does not have a provision exactly like this. So I think
HOA.
Right. Bottom line, I would say, is take a look. If there's a conflict of interest, needless to say, that person should obviously not take a vote at that board meeting. Certainly stay. Let the other non-interested parties vote on it. I'd certainly say there's a conflict of interest in you voting upon whether to hire yourself. You guys want to chime in anywhere along the way, feel free to. Go right ahead, Jeff.
I would agree, Eric. The one point there that it actually might be okay is that the community is really small, really, really
right,
small.
Exactly.
And the board member, through full disclosure, can actually save the community money.
Right.
But in a large community, no, professional management, professional bookkeeping.
Absolutely. No two ways about it. And sometimes trying to save money in a community winds up costing the association a bunch of money. Cheap is oftentimes expensive. How about we go to Nick in Lake Worth? How are you, Nick?
Taking my call.
You got it.
We are having a board election in a month or so, and our board consists of 5 members. We have 7 candidates. All of the candidates are very qualified, actually. There's only one problem. One of the candidates is actually a snowbird and spends 5 months of the year away in a northern state and far away. We're a very active board. I'm a board member. We're a very active board. We do a lot of things in between the monthly meetings. We have a lot going on right now, and we feel very strongly that it would be a burden on the other 4 board members and rather selfish, actually, for someone to get elected and then disappear for 5 months. So the question I have is, what can we do about it before the election in terms of making that information available to voters? Obviously, on this person's election sheet, they didn't mention that, and they are very qualified.
Right.
So what can we do legally to make it known, make that fact known?
There is – now, you can't do this as a board. In other words, the association can't take official letterhead and send out a letter on the association's letterhead saying, don't vote for John Smith because John Smith is a snowbird. But anybody who's running against, John Smith – we'll just use that name. They want to spend their own money. They want to mail a letter to everybody in the community saying, hey, that person's a snowbird. I'm running against them. Their interests really lie in the Northeast somewhere and not down here. I'm here 12 months a year. They can absolutely do that. There's nothing wrong with, you know, campaigning. That's certainly legal and certainly allowed in a Florida Community Association. You don't lose that right to campaign.
Does that include current board members?
Current board
individuals?
Current board members, absolutely. Who are running, can spend their own money, do their own campaigning, send out whatever letters they want. There's nothing again in the law that provides against that. What they can't do is use association resources to do it, and they can't use association letterhead, so it looks like the board is actually taking an official position against this person running. That would taint the election.
Would an email list and doing it by email constitute using board resources?
Now, that email list is a record that is not supposed to be disclosed to the unit owners. Okay, email addresses are confidential. So if as a board member you helped yourself to that email list and then use it, then yeah, I would say that election is tainted. And if an arbitration proceeding was filed, you would lose. Okay. But if you want to spend your own money and let the community know, no problem. Now, just to let you know, though, just to educate our listeners on this topic, just because somebody is a snowbird doesn't mean that they're not eligible for the board. Very limited circumstances where somebody's not eligible for the board, like a felony where your voting rights haven't been restored for the last 5 years. Another situation, if you're 90 days or more delinquent. You know, very, very limited circumstances where you're not eligible for the board. If you have charges pending that you've stole from the association, that also disqualifies you. Other than that, anything goes, including whether or not you're a snowbird.
Okay? I understand that it's legal. I have one more question to what you just said. You say spend your own money. I assume you mean by regular mail. Are the mailing addresses public information?
Yeah.
Are they just...
Mailing addresses, yes, you can absolutely get. No two ways about that. Email addresses.
In other words, mailing addresses, you would be mailing them into the condominium itself.
Whatever addresses that the unit owners have listed with the association for them to receive correspondence. That's what you got to go with. Okay,
but that is legitimately passed on from an association
correct.
To anyone, whereas email lists are not.
That's correct, sir. You got it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Nick. Thanks for the call. Let's do this. Let's take our first break, and when we get back, we're going to meet our new sponsor, Association Services of Florida Property Management. We'll talk about what your management company actually should be doing for you. We'll get their take on the move by some members of the Florida Bar to have the Florida Supreme Court place massive restrictions on the ability of community association managers to continue to do their job. And, of course, we'll continue to take your calls and emails about anything and everything else going on in the world of condos and HOAs. Just give us a call at the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
To Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates, founder. And we are taking your calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Although we are talking to the owners of the largest management company in the state. Is that true?
In the country.
In the country. And so we'll be taking your calls on topics that are pertinent to that type of discussion.
Exactly. All right. As a matter of fact, as our listeners know, Community Association Member Party was established to get legislation passed that would help all of you living in community associations throughout the state. And to know exactly what legislation each of you believe should be the top priority, again, there's now a survey on that website that allows you to specifically tell us what legislation you deem to be the most important. Please go to www.camp2012.net. Click on the survey button. Again, we're intending on getting responses from thousands of you around the state. And I understand that the survey is finishing up this week. And when the survey is completed, we will certainly pass on the results to the Florida legislature. Again, www.camp2012.net.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and want to be a guest on the show, attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show, just like our guests today. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and click on Email Us, the show tab.
All right. Let's welcome our guests to the show. Condo Craze and HOAs, we were really lucky enough to get Association Services of Florida as a sponsor to the show. And here to tell us about what they do and how they can help your community, Jeffrey Ulm, its president and CEO, and who also is a PCAM. That's like the greatest possible designation you can have as a community association manager. And James Gonzalez, who's their director of business development and also a licensed community association manager. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for coming today.
Thanks, Eric and Karen. And as Karen, as much as I wish I was the owner of the largest management company in the country, I'm actually president and CEO of Association Services of Florida, also known as ASF. It's an associate member company, as you alluded to. However, we are locally operated as a full-service management firm. We specialize in managing high-end condominium and homeowner associations throughout Southeast Florida.
Nice.
He's just the lowly president of the largest management company in North America. That's well, not the owner. All right. I was looking at Associa's website, guys, and I can see that you don't just manage condos and HOAs. Actually, what you do is you manage such a wide variety of different communities. Can you tell us kind of, you know, what else you do besides just condos?
That's true, Eric. We serve associations of all types, from condo, mixed-use, to master plan communities, to luxury high-rises, active adult resorts, and golf communities as well.
Really? Believe it or not, I was contacted recently by a nudist resort condominium association, and my wife didn't want me to represent them for some reason, you know, going to all those meetings and things like that. But a true story.
That's so now, funny.
Untrue about the wife. But, yeah, they're actually having trouble finding a management company that wants to service them. So in case anybody knows.
It's funny that you mentioned that because yeah. I had exactly the same opportunity and my wife, too.
Right.
No.
I can understand. All right. The diversity and you know, the types of properties that you guys manage may not be actually your most impressive stat on your website, which, again, clearly states that you're the largest property management firm in North America. But companies who are successful on such a grand scale like that, you don't get there by accident. You're obviously doing something right. What's the secret?
Eric, there's really no secret. It's two parts to our success. First, while we provide excellent customer service, we also provide services that smaller management firms simply cannot. Being a member of the Associa, a local Associa branch, gives us access to tremendous amounts of resources that benefit not only the board of directors, but our homeowners as well. Second, we always realize that the board is the boss. We don't dictate to our boards what they must do. We certainly advise them as to what we feel they should do, but they have the last call.
And that is refreshing to hear, quite frankly, from some management companies, because I say this all the time. You know, I'm oftentimes absolutely amazed when I talk to some associations that have been with a management company for a long time, and they tell me that the manager won't let them change attorneys, won't let them change landscapers, or won't let them change any vendors that they want to change. And for some reason, there's a belief out there by at least some board members, and I got to tell you, unfortunately, especially the ones where the boards are primarily comprised of senior citizens, that they're under the complete 100% dominance and control of their management company. What do you guys think about that?
That's actually something I hear all the time, and it's one of the very first things I address when I speak to a new board. Not only do I not want to make the decisions legally, I don't have that responsibility. So I make it very clear to them that they are the boss. The final decision is theirs.
Well, even though you guys, associates, you know, a giant in the industry, though, how do you make sure that, you know, the local condo or HOA doesn't feel like they're just, you know, a small piece in a big pie? You know, because as you know, when associations have a question or a problem, they don't want to feel like they need to go to a national 1-800 number of some kind to get in touch with their manager. They want to walk over to the phone, pick it up, get their personal manager on the phone, and not be transferred to like a million different departments. They want to feel that they're dealing with somebody local, even though you guys are national.
Well, the beauty of the way we do business is that while, yes, we are a part of the largest, most successful management company in the country, I have complete control over how the local business is run. I control pricing, service, staff, you name it. If you call ASS 800 number, it rings in our office, and our well-trained receptionist will answer that call.
All right, so there's no chance that if somebody calls in on the weekend, they're going to get transferred to, like, Mumbai, India, right? Not going to happen?
Not at all.
All right, good. because, you know, the listeners just, I don't think they would stand for that at this point, I got to tell you. And one thing that the Associate did do on their website was list important dates and events in the company's history. And I got to tell you, this I really found to be unique. I was impressed by just how many other accomplishments, really, that Associate has in addition to strictly property management. And I wanted to go over some of those accomplishments with you. In 1988, it's listed on your website that you established an in-house service department to handle the construction and maintenance needs of your clientele, and you actually grew that fleet to over 100 trucks in just 5 years. I mean, tell us about that service, you know, how it works, what it does, and how it can actually help the communities you guys manage.
Eric, the service is pretty cool. Its name is Associate On Call, and it operates like a local maintenance firm. In one of our communities, if one of our communities needs maintenance or service, we don't foist upon our service upon our clients at whatever price we want to. We do a proposal for the work order, and the board decides whether or not to hire us. Of course, we know what the board wants, so we always are competitive, but the board does not have to hire us if it doesn't want to.
Understood. I hear the music playing. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585 with Jeff Ulm, President, and James Gonzalez, Director of Business Development for Association Services of Florida. We'll be back right after this.
Welcome back to the second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850. I'm Karen Curtis with attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates, and we are taking your phone calls for talking about property management at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. Our guests in the studio, Jim Gonzalez and Jeffrey Ulm. They are with Association Services of Florida. That's also a member of Associa.
Right, an associate member company. And guys, before we went to the break, we were talking about the fact that you guys offer a lot of other maintenance services to your association clientele and built up a tremendously large fleet. But if nothing else, you know, we need to tell all sides of a story here on the show. And sometimes management companies have actually received a bum rap because communities feel like these extra services that management companies provide are really being forced on them by their management companies, who won't even help the communities engage in competitive bidding if the management company already offers that service. You know, if a condo or HOA signs with you guys, with Associa, is that community really required to purchase these other services that you guys offer?
There's really no extra service outside of our basic contract that our boards are required to purchase. Our contract spells out our affiliations, but we present any proposals exactly that, a proposal. If we have an affiliation with the company making the proposal, the board knows well in advance. If we can save the association money and provide excellent service, then it's legitimately a good deal, and there's really nothing wrong with
that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, that kind of jives with what we were talking about earlier when our caller called in. You know, as long as the bidding process is open, I agree, you know, no harm. In fact, again, like we said before, the law simply requires a management company discloses that relationship, and obviously Associate does just that. And in fact, the law even allows, like we said, board members to do business with the association as long as it's disclosed, voted upon, and nothing is forced upon them. So again, I certainly have no problem with it. But as both of you know, teaching managers and board members, that's something that's certainly, you know, near and dear to my heart. And I see that in 2006, Associate University was established, and I see it's an online video conferencing and live training program that boasts more than 300 training courses. And because of that, you guys make the point that associate community managers and employees are really the most educated in the community management industry. Now, tell us about the type of training that you put your managers through before they actually go out there and start engaging in employment through Associa.
One of the things that brought me to Associa was its commitment to training. I'm a huge proponent of educating our boards and our managers. My company provides training to our managers at no extra cost, whether it's internal training by experts within Associa or approved classes from CAI, so our managers can get their CMCA, AMS, and PCAM designations. Training is mandatory since it's free, and there isn't another management company that provides more training than we do.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of education, as you know, and here's something really unique that I see you guys do. In 2007, Associate Cares was founded, and that's a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to assisting people in all neighborhoods throughout America who wind up being victims of natural and man-made disasters. That's interesting. Tell us about that.
Eric, this is how you can really tell the culture of the company that you're doing business with. Associate Care is an amazing program dedicated to helping the members in our client associations through very difficult times. Whether it's providing help when a home was burned in Colorado wildfires this summer, or helping less fortunate families provide gifts to their kids at the holidays, we give back to the members of our communities in many ways. The money is all raised through donations, many of which from the employees throughout the country.
Yeah, I guess from associate employees. It's fantastic. And in 2007, following your timeline of the growth of the company, I see it began the industry's first online shopping network, Associate Advantage, and that enables homeowners and employees to actually save on home products and services online. How does that actually work?
This is one of the services we were talking about that benefits the owners in our client communities. Associate Advantage allows us to leverage our tremendous buying power so that not only our associations benefit from discounted pricing, but the owners in the communities do as well. We have a large number of trade partners that allow our owners to save money just by being an associate community. You simply go online to Associate Advantage, register with your associate client account number, and start saving money with our trade partners.
Fantastic. I see. Keep going. In 2010, you launched Associate Living, which is a first of its kind, an actual online magazine, which is designed to be a resource of useful and inspiring information for residents of the homeowner associations actually around the entire country. Tell us about the magazine. You know, it's available to your clients of Associate.
Yes, absolutely. Associate Living is a magazine full of ideas for the owners to use at home, recipes for the community, tips about landscaping, things like that are going out throughout the country and throughout their community. The community news and other neat ideas. It's available to the associate clients.
Yeah, it sounds like it's fun and actually a friendly piece rather than getting something in the mail that reminds you to pay your late maintenance. You know,
absolutely. What I'm saying?
Right?
Absolutely.
Keeps the community together. But besides being productive in the management field, and this actually hit home, I also see that Associate cares about kids. And in 2010, Associate Supports Kids was started, and you guys describe it as a unique, comprehensive program that is designed to educate parents and children about safety, and you sponsor youth sports activities to help kids stay active. Tell us about that.
Sure. Associate truly is all about community, and kids are a huge part of our communities. Associate Supports Kids is really there for the parents to assist them in child safety, because that is so important. But we also make it fun for the kids with games, events, and our very popular mascot, Scout. Scout has made several trips to South Florida already this year, and we'll be having him again at community events next month.
Hey, anything that gets kids out into the sunshine, I am in favor of it.
Big
because
time.
Sitting in front of the Wii, they actually think they're exercising, but they are not. But I also know Associate really tries to bring the latest technology to the community associations that you guys are managing. Tell us what you guys did actually just last year to better assist your residents stay in touch with their association and their manager.
Eric, in 2011, we upgraded Associa Access to provide association homeowners real-time communication and connectivity to their accounts via smartphones. The new user-friendly enhancements are specifically designed for small screens like the iPhone, Android, and some BlackBerry models as
so
well.
So people have a question about their account, whatever, they're able to log in and find out just what they owe.
That's
in real time.
In real time, right then and there.
It's going to be interesting. You know, with all these new technologies that come out, like FaceTime, for example, clients are more demanding now than ever. They actually, you know, have the ability almost to sit down at the dinner table with you. And you wind up bringing all this work home. It ain't easy. I just remember years ago just getting in touch with, like, the Secretary of State's office to make calls. You'd have to go online and spend, like, an hour just to find out who the registered agent is of a company. And today everything takes a second. So things are easier. But I got to tell you, clients expect more from you today than ever before. And here's the bottom line. You know, times are tough. And people are looking to save money everywhere. You know, how do you think actually Associate can help save associations money? That's what everybody wants to hear.
Man, you're really preaching to the choir. We do recognize times are tough. We also recognize that associations need to be maintained. So we work with our affiliated companies, trade partners, and our local go-to vendors to provide the best possible service at the most reasonable cost. Our nationwide buying power truly does save our community's money.
All right, let's do this. Let's take our final break of the hour. I see we have a couple of calls on hold. When we get back, we'll finish up with Jeffrey Ulm, president, and James Gonzalez, Director of Business Development of Association Services of Florida, which is an associate member company. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We will be back right after this.
To Condo Craze and HOAs here on Big Talk 850, our final segment. You're listening to Karen Curtis and attorney Eric Glazer from Glazer & Associates. You can call us at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And we have guests in the studio, President and CEO Jeffrey Alm, and also the James Gonzalez, who's the Director of Business Development and is also a licensed community association manager from Association Services of Florida. And it's an associate member community
company. And let's go to Mary. Mary, I see you've been holding for a long time. How are you?
Hi, good, thank you.
How can we help?
My question is, we have a condo up by the University of Florida, and there's really no condo association. There is an HOA that we pay dues that they actually doubled in the past couple of years, and if you could see the fruit of it, it wouldn't matter, but it isn't. There's one lady, she's there part-time, she never returns phone calls. And the place is going downhill, and it serves a lot of people and students up there. And I just don't know how to get through to the bottom. I mean, we've asked for finances. They won't share them. There's never any HOA meetings. It almost seems like there's illegal activity.
Does Mary realize that I'm a Cain and I'm probably going to purposely give her the wrong legal advice? I'm not going to help no gator out. I mean, it's just not going to happen. All right. Anyway, hey, here's what we have to look into, Mary. You say that expenses has doubled and you haven't really seen a result of anything good coming out of the community. Now, let me ask you this. Do you know if there's a foreclosure crisis, particularly in that community? Because oftentimes, 50% of the community isn't paying, then the other 50% is going to wind up paying double. So, what kind of foreclosure crisis do you have going on there?
I don't think it's 50%, but I do know that there definitely are units that is happening with.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess.
But I don't think it's.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I don't think it's fair that they're double charging us for other people.
Yeah, I mean, Noel, that's the way community association living works, unfortunately. If bottom line is the bill's got to get paid, and if there's not enough money coming in each month because there's so many people not paying, the board is left with no choice oftentimes but to pass that special assessment so that you wind up getting double from the people that actually can and do pay. And I'm thinking you guys much hear these stories all the time. When you go meet your new communities, they tell you that, hey, all we know is that the maintenance went up double in the past few years and we're just not seeing anything. How can you help?
Well, there's really not a lot you can do except make sure that the assessments are being done correctly, and that if you have to super assess to make up the difference.
Right, and we don't know if that's taking place up there or not. Understood. All right, let's do this, actually. This was actually a great week for you guys to come on the show because on Friday, the Real Property and Probate Division of the Florida Bar asked the Florida Bar to ask Florida Supreme Court for an advisory opinion that so many routine aspects that are handled by licensed community association managers would now constitute for the first time the unlicensed practice of law. And we said on the show, that's great. Lawyers, quite frankly, may be voting to give themselves a raise here. And what do you guys think about this and whether or not restricting what managers can do will lead to the association being further protected, as argued by some members of the bar, not me, quite frankly, or if it's going to cost the association a lot more money in the end?
The bottom line is it will cost the associations a lot more money in the end. Associates have been huge in the unlicensed practice of law debate, also known as UPL. I was at the UPL hearing in June along with a number of associates, CEOs, and vice presidents. The vote last week by the UPL committee was to basically throw out most of the Real Property and Probate Division's petition, relying instead of the 1996 Supreme Court ruling as to what CAMS can and cannot do in a legal arena.
Yeah, let me stop you there. In 1996, Florida Supreme Court actually came out with a decision that spelled out pretty sufficiently what CAMS and can and cannot do and what would be considered the unlicensed practice of law. And that's been fine for the last, 17, 16 years now or so. For some reason, though, out of the clear blue sky, here comes a certain segment of the Florida bar saying, you know what, we even want to now further limit the things that CAMS can do.
Exactly, and we really disagree with most of their points. I don't know what the reasoning was to bring it up at this point, but
yeah.
I think the Supreme Court ruling is pretty good.
Yeah, and what actually happened last week? I understand there are four matters that are still to be decided.
Yeah, the UPL committee subcommittee had a vote on the petition and voted to basically disregard most of it. But there's about four items left on the table that are still open for discussion.
Yeah. Hey, guys, most important question of the day before we go to some extra callers. If our listeners want to learn more about Associa or get a quote for their community, who should they call and what website do they visit? How do they get in touch with you guys?
Eric, that would be me. So get your pens and papers out, ladies and gentlemen. You can reach me by phone, 800-714-3514. Again, that's 1-800-714-3514, or locally, 954-922-3514. And you can get my extension, 3011, or you can reach me on email. That is the initial J, Gonzalez, GONZALEZ, at AssociaFlorida.com, all spelled out, Florida.com. Again, it's J. Gonzalez at Associa, A-S-S-O-C-I-A, Florida, all spelled out, .com.
Guys, thank you both. Jeff, James, thank you so much for being a guest on the show.
Thank you.
And I really want to thank you guys for being a sponsor.
Thanks, Eric. We really, really enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. Stick around because we have a couple of callers and maybe you guys can help out. How about we go to Aaron in Boynton Beach?
Hi, Aaron. You're on the air.
Sharon? This is Sharon.
Oh, Sharon, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. How are you, Sharon?
Oh, good. Thank you. I had a situation where the property manager was living on site and had an office on site, and I notified the manager via fax, and it was to the manager and the board that there was a leak. Manager did nothing. Leak was going on for 6 months. I contacted the president. He did nothing. Then I contacted the treasurer, who himself was a licensed community association manager, and the treasurer did nothing for about another 8 months. And then the treasurer became president and still stalled and delayed. Question is, two-part question. What are the laws regarding the management company delaying when a leak is known? And secondarily, the fact that the treasurer and president was himself a licensed CAM, are there any qualifications or laws that require or can further chastise him, so to speak, for not taking action? I guess I'm saying, was he held to a higher standard
sure.
because he was also a licensed CAM?
Let's do this.
And did nothing.
Let's take this in small pieces. Guys, let's throw this out to you. I mean, the one thing that your managers get all the time are calls that say, it's raining in my apartment. What do you instruct your managers to do once they get a call that says that?
Well, if there's a threat to the common area, we're going to make sure it gets taken care of. Our contract has emergency provisions in it to make sure that happens. But we hear this all the time that the manager isn't taking action. And don't forget, we do look at the board as the boss. So if we bring the issue to the board and they choose not to do something or to do something a little bit different, we're, of course, going to abide by their
Yeah, absolutely.
Rules.
Sure. In that regard, the management company certainly has an obligation to let the board know what's going on. But it's the board who has to make the decision to go out there and say, okay, let's hire a roofing company to take a look at the situation or a waterproofing company or whatever it is. And that obligation, again, is on the board to tell their management company to do just that. It does. I don't care one way or another that this other gentleman happens to be a CAM. As the bottom line is, he has an obligation to do something about it. Because he is a board member, you just can't ignore the fact that it's raining in somebody's unit and not even bother to take a look at it. Oftentimes, you know, we get calls that it's raining. You know, people call and say, whose fault is it? Who can I sue? Who can I go after? And we always tell them in the absence of your ability to prove negligence on behalf of the board, it's impossible to recover just because it's leaking in your unit. But here you have a situation where you told them of the problem. They're doing nothing about it. And the bottom line is if that leak winds up causing damage to the interior of your unit now, guess what? You, in fact, do have a lawsuit against the board. No two ways about it. Sharon, thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Marty in Fort Lauderdale. Marty?
Hi, good afternoon.
How are you, Marty? We got about a minute or two.
Okay, quick question. 30-year old condo. For the past 30 years, we could pay our maintenance right in the office. Now they want us to mail the maintenance into a management company. yet we still have the office available. Do we have to do it that way?
Great question. How do you guys handle that? I mean, when you're hired as a new management company, I'm sure the procedures change from time to time.
It does, and basically it's really what your board directs. As far as we're concerned, if there's an office that we can pick up locally, we'll do it. I mean, we prefer the lockbox to be used, but you know, once again, the board's the boss. If they say lockbox 100%, then it's lockbox 100%.
Yeah, but I would think, though, if this guy walks down to the office and there's a manager down there and you hand that payment to the manager and they say, sorry, we're not taking it, if they won't even think for a moment about foreclosing and assessing late fees, fines, and penalties and things of that nature, not going to happen. And a judge, at least in my humble opinion, is going to hit that association hard.
Right. Well, my managers are taking that anyway.
Yeah, take the payment. You know, and the case law is pretty clear in that regard also. Association can never, ever, ever refuse a payment. That can get the association in some trouble. On that note, I hear the music starting to play in the background. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks,
again,
gentlemen.
We had Jeffrey Ulm and James Gonzalez from Association Services of Florida with us today. Thanks for being with us, responding to our listeners' calls as well. Everybody else, thank you for tuning in to another week on Condo Craze and HOAs. And don't forget to listen to Karen give the news in the morning.
And go Dolphins!
You mean Jets. Have a great week. Bye-bye.